fruits which are commonly squeezed. Hachamim said that a person should refrain from squeezing those types of fruits on Shabbat. It's not just fruits, vegetables as well. Anything which is normally squeezed for its juice, a tomato for example, that's also forbidden from the Hachamim to squeeze on Shabbat. Okay? Only because it's similar to olives and grapes in that sense that people squeeze them for their juices. However, types of fruits or types of vegetables which are rarely squeezed for their juices, even if you are going to squeeze it, that's fine. That's permissible. So it's difficult to think of today a fruit which a person would want to squeeze and not commonly squeezed. Perhaps, I was thinking, melon. Yeah, watermelon juice. You don't really find pure watermelon juice. You may find flavored watermelon, right, additives and these types of things, but you don't actually find pure grape, pure apple juice, pure orange juice, pear juice. You don't really find watermelon juice or melon juice. Well, having said that, I was once in a person's house who was on a special diet 2-3 years ago, and I was actually giving a shiur, about, not about this, but something on Shabbat. And there on the table, this is a person with a very very sensitive diet, was there was melon juice on the table there. And I remembered that. I ended up with it, you know, I was offered this juice, and it always stuck in my mind that there is, you can buy melon juice. But, again, it's not a common thing. And it's not, melons aren't squeezed for juices. And something like that, also something like carrots, yeah? Carrots, anyway, you kind of grind for different purposes. But leaving aside the problem of grinding the carrot on Shabbat, yeah? To make carrot juice, that's debatable whether that would be considered a juice or not. But let's not go into that. Now, the main point is that we need to distinguish between things which are forbidden by the Torah and things which are forbidden by the Hachamim. And what we're saying is the only types of liquids which is forbidden by the Torah to squeeze on Shabbat is a liquid such as grape juice, olive oil, other types of juices. Even though they are commonly squeezed for their juices, are only forbidden from the Hachamim to squeeze on Shabbat. And this is an important distinction. And I'll show you a few reasons why this is an important distinction. So let me ask you a question. Can you take a grape? Okay, take a grape and put it in your mouth. You don't eat it, you put it on your lips. And you suck the grape, or you suck the olive. Right? Is that permissible or not? So, we have to categorize here. Within a person's mouth, there is no melacha on Shabbat within a person's mouth. Yeah? You think about it, every time you eat an olive, you eat a grape, you're squeezing the juice out of the grape. Right? Nonetheless, it's fine. Why? Because in a person's mouth, it's derech achila, that's the way you eat, that's the norm, and that's, you cannot consider that as doing something wrong on Shabbat. There's no question about that. Similarly, there's no question about a person taking a grape, taking an olive, and squeezing it outside his mouth into his mouth. That's an act of squeezing. That's forbidden. That's also not debated. The debate here is, what about if I take a fruit and I put it on my lips and I squeeze it between my lips and thereby extract the juice? I'm doing it with my mouth, but not during the context of eating. Doing it before and after eating. So that's a big debate. And the final halakha is that. What do you think the final halakha is going to be?
Okay.
No. With things which are forbidden by the Torah, grapes and olives, that a person should refrain from doing. Whereas, things which are permissible from the Torah, only forbidden by the Hachamim, that a person is allowed to do. So it's fine for a person to take a strawberry, to take an orange, to take a small piece of orange, and suck it between his lips. It's totally fine. However, grape and olive, since they are forbidden from the Torah, therefore we are concerned with the things which hold that's forbidden. But again, I repeat, and I reiterate, that's not talking about whilst the person is eating. Whilst a person is eating, that's absolutely fine. That's part of the act of eating, and there's no problem with that. Now, we said that the issue in dash, in threshing, is what you're doing is, you're taking and you're separating a liquid from a solid. So we explained, you're taking out a juice from the grape, something like that. Or something inedible from something edible. There's no concept of dash, for example, if you cut something into two pieces. Dash means to take something which wasn't there before, or was covered, it wasn't accessible, now you made it accessible. That's what the concept of threshing is. Therefore, there's no problem in separating two types of fruit, which are the same, which is the same fruit. Cutting an orange into two, that's fine. So, there's a concept that when you are squeezing a liquid, and that liquid is going straight into a solid, since it doesn't have its own identity at any time, because you're squeezing it directly from the orange. Remember, if I was to cut the orange into two, that would be fine. To cut into four, into eight, into 16, that's all fine. I can do that. What I can't do is squeeze the orange and take out the liquid. If I squeeze the orange into a cup, that we said you can't do, from the Chachamim. If, however, I squeeze the orange into, let's say, a fruit salad, so I'm squeezing it directly onto solid pieces, right? Therefore, since it's going straight onto a solid, and it's becoming part and enmeshed within with a solid, we consider the liquid which is coming out, it never has a form of a liquid. It's considered as part, since it's going straight into the solid, it was a solid before, it was part of the solid, part of the orange, and now it's going straight onto the solid. Therefore, it doesn't have its own identity as a liquid, and that's permissible. So you're allowed to squeeze any fruit, any vegetable, directly onto a bowl, etc. That's totally permissible to do on Shabbat. Okay.
So a bowl with food inside, with food in.
Of course, a bowl with a salad, with a solid inside. So if you're squeezing into a bowl, into a cup, that's what we talked about before. That's forbidden. That's you're squeezing a liquid. Here, what we're saying is that you're squeezing it directly onto the solid, therefore it never gets an identity of a liquid in its own right. It's a solid, and we said solid and solids are fine. Like we began the shiur by saying that you can extract an edible bean from an edible pod, a sugar cane, we said that's fine because it's two foods, that's fine to do. Similarly, to extract a solid from a solid is fine, and therefore since the liquid in inverted commas, is being squeezed out directly onto the solid, we consider that as a solid and that's permissible to squeeze out. However, what shouldn't be done is you squeeze it into a cup and then you go and pour it onto the solid. You may think to yourself, look, end of the day, in a minute or so, I'm squeezing it out into the cup, the orange into the cup, making oranges, I'm going to pour into my fruit until I've got a few different bowls of salad. I'm going to put it into different salad. That shouldn't be done because end of the day, it's not going directly onto the fruit. For this heter to be allowed, the liquid has to be squeezed directly onto the solid. One final point with regards to fruits and vegetables. Lemons. Okay? Can I squeeze a lemon on Shabbat? So what do you think? Can I squeeze a lemon on Shabbat?
Yeah.
That is a water.
Why?
On the
salad.
On the salad.
Not on the salad. No, into a cup.
No.
Why not?
The
Rabbanan. Why?
It's solid there. It was a solid thing.
So the reason you're saying it's forbidden is because it's a type of lemon is a type of fruit which is squeezed for its juice, okay? And therefore you would assume that it's forbidden from the Chachamim to do so. However, black and white in the Shulchan Aruch, a three-word halakha, one of the shortest halakhot in the whole of Shulchan Aruch, three-word halakha, mutar lischot lemons. That's the wording of the Shulchan Aruch. He actually uses the word limonish, he calls it. That's what. Okay? Is it permissible to squeeze lemons? Now he's not talking about onto a solid because you can do anything. And he's already talking about somewhere else. He's talking about squeezing a lemon just for its lemon juice. And now he says it's permissible. And the reason this is so is because that which we say is you can't squeeze out a juice, like an orange or a pear or a pineapple, these are types of things which, when you squeeze the juice is drunk by itself. And therefore it has its own entity, has its own identity. And that can be confused with olives and grapes. A lemon, though, you don't drink lemon juice by itself. When you squeeze a lemon, right, you're always going to add something to the lemon. Or you're going to pour the lemon onto a salad, or you're going to add something into the lemon, you're going to lemonade, add sugar, whatever it is. But nobody drinks, or very few people drink, lemon juice by itself, without adding it to something. Hence, it's not confusable with olives and grapes. And this is why the halakha to us Sfaradim is very clear, that we are allowed to squeeze lemons. Okay? Even not onto fruit. Onto a salad is definitely fine, like we've said. But if to squeeze, not with the grinder. Yeah, not with the machine or anything. Even not electric, even a mechanical you shouldn't do. Talking about with your hand, I mean. We're talking about squeezing with your hand. You may squeeze a lemon with your hand into a cup, Okay? And then you can go and pour that into salads, or whatever you want to do with it. Or, you know, squeezing the lemon into your tea. That's also fine. Straight into the tea, that's permissible. Clear in Shulchan Aruch. And this is brought down later on by Ravadi and others. But that's important to understand the reason being, right? And the distinction between this and other types of fruits, which are commonly squeezed and are yet are forbidden by the Chachamim. Lemons, they are permissible because even if you are not planning on adding it in, that's an important point. Even if you just, for whatever reason, you just want to squeeze it out, and you're not planning on adding it to your salad, okay? It's unlikely why you'd be doing that. But nonetheless, this isn't a type of fruit which is forbidden by the Chachamim to squeeze lemons. Something like that which isn't drunk in its own by itself of its own accord. This is important halacha we should be aware of. one final point with regard to this, and we'll summarize, is that if you think about what we've said about extracting, then surely peeling a fruit should be a problem. Yeah? A type of fruit where you have an inedible case, it's an orange for example, where you can't really eat the case. So seemingly, what you're doing when you're peeling an orange is you are extracting the orange from the case. So why is that not dash? Why is it not threshing? Like taking out a bean from an edible pod. We said you can't do that. Taking out liquid from the fruit. Why are you peeling an orange? Is that fine? So this is clear, it's mutar. The reason, there's a number of reasons given, but the most basic reason is that when you peel a fruit, your action is on the case. Your action isn't directed to the item. You're not extracting the item from the case. You're just taking away the case and allowing, you're making bare the fruit inside it. Right? You're taking out the outer case and thereby you're creating orange. As opposed to extracting like a bean from the pod around you, you're taking it out. That's forbidden. Okay, there's a number of other reasons as well. We won't go into them, but we should know peeling fruit doesn't fall under this, and it's totally fine. So to summarize what we've said so far, this is part one of dash. What we've said is that the definition of dash is to extract something from an inedible case, okay, or to extract something which wasn't accessible before. So a fruit, a juice, taking out the juice. And we've said that only from the Torah, only grapes and olives are forbidden. All other types of fruits which are commonly squeezed are forbidden by the Chachamim only. And we explain this distinction has ramifications, practical ramifications. So we said squeezing between your lips, squeezing fruit between your lips, most fruits will be fine. Grapes and olives, though, a person should refrain from doing. But we said within a person's mouth, he can, he's certain he's allowed to, of course, to chew it and to extract the liquid. And then we explain that when you're squeezing any fruit or vegetable onto a solid, that's permissible. It's fine to do that, provided it goes directly onto the solid. And lemon is the exception, in that a lemon you are allowed to actually squeeze it directly into the cup without anything in it, and then to pour it into something else, or to actually go into it later. This is why when you're making a tea, okay, strictly speaking, a person may pour from the urn into a cup. That cup is now a cliché, okay, and then you can squeeze your lemon into that cup. We did say, if you remember in Bishul a couple of weeks ago, a lemon could be a kalea bishul, it could be one of those types of foods which are very easy to be cooked, and therefore it's preferable to turn it into a klishlishi. Okay, but strictly speaking, a person may take water from the urn into the cup, the cup's now a klisheni, then you squeeze your lemon into the tea, that's fine, then you cut it. Okay, any questions on that before we move on? Okay, moving on to part two now of dash, so milking. So, same idea what we've learned tonight, squeezing the fruit, okay, is the same with milking a cow. Okay? What you're doing is you are extracting the milk from the cow, and this is a biblical prohibition. This is real, this is a proper dash. Nonetheless, having said that, there are circumstances important, even you may be thinking to yourself that, you know, how often are we in the vicinity of animals on Shabbat? This has practical applications for all of them. So let's talk about this and we'll take this over. So milking the cow is forbidden, we've explained. Now, having said that, we know that Tsar Bali Chayim, looking after the welfare of animals, is a mitzvah from the Torah. Okay? It's a biblical mitzvah to look after the welfare of animals. And therefore, if an animal is in pain, or the time has come for it to to milk it, and you know, if you're not going to milk it because you're not allowed to on Shabbat, it's going to cause it pain, then one may instruct a non-Jew, they have to hint, they don't have to instruct right out, can you come and milk the cow for me? Because instructing the non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbat is a rabbinic prohibition, and it's better you transgress the rabbinic prohibition than to make the animal and leave the animal in pain, and that's a biblical violation of ensuring the animal, the welfare of animals. If there is no non-Jew in your vicinity, you can't find one, then a person himself may milk the cow. On one condition. You milk the cow and it goes to waste. Why? Because remember, all of anything you do on Shabbat, it has to be that you're doing it for a positive purpose. Right? If you do anything on Shabbat and there's no positive outcome, then it's only forbidden by the Rabbanan. Okay? So, you tear on Shabbat. If there's no positive outcome of it, it's only forbidden by the Chachamim. You destroy something on Shabbat. If you're not intending to build in its place, you destroy a building on Shabbat, you go and knock it down, and you don't intend to do anything in its place, that's forbidden by the Rabbanan. From the Torah, any melacha which you do has to be for constructive purpose. Okay, so I'm not allowed to destroy in order to build in its place. I'm just destroying it for the Baruch HaKamim because there's no constructive purpose. So when you milk the cow and it goes to waste, you're not retaining it in a bowl or in a cup, that's forbidden by the Baruch HaKamim. And therefore you're allowed to do that in order to relieve the animal of its pain. If that's also not possible, then what you have is, you have another, and then with this you can actually keep the milk. Is if you have an electrical machine, which is on a timer, okay? Electrical machine on a timer. What you can do is put the machine on the udders of the animal before the machine comes on. So all you've done is move the machine onto the udder. And then 5-10 minutes it's going to come on, and by itself it's milking the cow. You're not doing anything. It's only a grammar. You've caused it to happen, but you haven't done it. Normally we don't like to do grammar. You shouldn't cause things to happen. But if there's any need, any purpose, then you're allowed to. And in this situation, you're certainly allowed to leave the animal. Therefore, what you could do is you have this machine, attach it to the udder of the animal, and then you leave it to milk of its own accord. Even if the machine was already on, you forgot to put it on before, the machine was already on, there is still a way to do it. But what you can do is you can put the machine, which is working already, on the udder of the animal, okay? And then, the first few drops, you need to leave it to go to waste. That's, we said you're allowed to do that. Even with your hand, you're allowed to do that. Or the muscle of the machine. Of course, this is an electrical machine which is on a time switch, not that you are switching on Shabbat. Okay, and then, after that, once the first bit has gone to waste, then you can have the rest. Because by that time, you're only causing the next drops of milk. You with me? The first drops of milk, when you actually put the machine on the udder, you've caused that directly, and therefore you can't benefit from that. So you leave that to waste. But then the next drops after that, that's only you've caused it to happen, right? You're not actually directly doing that. And therefore for relief of that, pain of the animal, that you'll have to do. So to summarize, you have an animal where you can and which is in pain needs to be milked, either you ask a non-Jew, you instruct a non-Jew straight out to do it, or secondly, what you can do is milk the animal and leave it to go to waste. Or thirdly, use this machine. The same applies to a woman who's breastfeeding, and for whatever reason, the baby doesn't want to eat that day, whatever it is, and a woman feels in pain. Exactly the same. A woman may breastfeed to waste, okay, that's fine, because even though it's forbidden by the Hachamim for the purposes of relieving her pain, it's permissible. If, however, the baby needs the milk, it's going to need the milk later on, then you can get one of these machines, which you put on the timer, and you know it goes on every quarter of an hour, every 20 minutes, and you put it on before it comes on, and then you can actually use the milk which is being expressed. So it's important to remember that. Yeah, these machines are, you can get hold of the machine, they're not easy to get hold of, but it is possible to get hold of these machines. And so that's important to realize, okay? Because expressing human milk is the same, right? To express human milk straight into a bottle for the use of the baby, so bring the Torah, okay? And therefore, you have to do one of these, what we just explained. Either you express to waste, and then you have an alternative for the baby, or if you need the baby to have the milk, then you have a timer, it goes on. If a person can't get hold of the machine and the baby needs the milk, then you should seek rabbinical guidance to discuss what to do. But that's generally the halakha when it comes to milking. Okay. and they're milking animals and expressing human love. Third point of Dash before we wrap up Dash. The Talmud says, and this is brought down in Halakha, very clearly, it's forbidden to crush ice, or snow, or hail on Shabbat. Okay? It's forbidden to do so. Why is this the case? Why is it forbidden to have an ice scoop, you have a piece of snow, to crush it, to transform it into liquid, is forbidden. Okay? What's the reason for this? Different reasons. But one of the reasons given is that it's domeh, it's comparable to dash. Why? Because think about it. What's dash? You extract a liquid from its case. Now here, you're not really extracting a liquid from the case. You're transforming the case into a liquid. Therefore, this isn't real dash from the Torah, right? You see the difference. It's not like you're taking a fruit and you're squeezing it, extracting the liquid from the case. He was transforming the whole ice cube into a liquid. And therefore, from the Torah's perspective, that's not forbidden. Hachamim came and forbade it. That's one reason. There's another reason given. The Rambam learns this is because of Makeva Patish, you're creating new water. In a sense, rabbinically, you're creating new water because there was an ice cube and now you're creating water. Doesn't matter the reason. The point is that it's forbidden to actually crush ice or snow or hail on Shabbat. However, this is only not allowed when you are crushing it, you're doing the action. Okay? You're allowed to leave, for example, you can put an ice cube into your drink, which will melt of its own accord. That's permissible. It's even permissible to leave a tray of ice cubes on the table, even though it's not going to melt in something. So if you're putting in a cup of Coke, then it's going to melt into that. It's definitely fine. But even to leave a tray of ice cubes out by itself and it melts of its own accord, even that's fine. Because you're not doing anything. Hachamim forbade you to do something because it's similar to dash. It's similar to the act of squeezing and to threshing. If it happens by itself, it's fine to do. Therefore, you can leave, you can take out, in the hot summer's day, you take out a tray of ice cubes, you leave on the table, you can leave it to transform into liquid, that's totally fine. What shouldn't be done though, and this sometimes you see people doing, is you have a glass and for a drink, Coca-Cola, and you've got ice cubes in it, and you put your spoon in, and you know, against the walls of the cup, you crush the ice cube. That should be avoided. Even though it's melting directly into the cup, nonetheless, you are actively doing the act of crushing, and therefore that should be avoided on Shabbat. It's forbidden to do that. We don't hold it for Nolad. That's the Ramah. Yes.
And we're not concerned. What's our issue that the ice, in many cases, is going to become snow? It's going to become.
True.
It's eventually going to melt.
It's going to. Yeah, you're doing the act. That's the reason. By itself, you can leave ice cubes on the table to melt. The point is, when you're doing it, you're actively doing it. It's similar to act of threshing. Think about it. Similar to act of squeezing. You're changing the solid into a liquid, right? That's the problem. Conversely, to change a liquid into a solid, no problem at all. There's no problem in the slightest in making ice cubes, freezing ice cubes on Shabbat. Okay, as long as you're doing it for the purpose of Shabbat. You cannot take your tray, fill up with water, put it in the freezer for Sunday morning, or for Motzei Shabbat. You can't do that, that's preparation. If as long as you have intent, even if you don't end up using it, but you intend in using it for Shabbat, then you may freeze water and transform it into ice. There's no reason not.
You
hold
for the next Shabbat.
No, that also shouldn't be, because you can do it on a weekday.
So automatic ice making machine, you can't draw.
Automatic
ice making machine.
How does that work?
Electric. Yeah, it works itself. But it's like if you take a few ice cubes and you give it more room to prepare more ice.
I'm not exactly clear on how it works, but we'll discuss that afterwards. I'm not exactly clear how it works. But if it's electrical anyway, there's a problem. But just want to say one more point, then we'll summarize the whole of Dash. If you allow me, one more point. So, are you allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbat? Okay? So if you're thinking of Molid, then yes, you can't, but we're not going with all that. So, So you think about a bar of soap. Can you use a bar of soap on Shabbat? So liquid soap is definitely fine. But what about using a bar of soap on Shabbat? So what's the potential? Two potential issues here. One potential issue is you're again transforming a solid into a liquid. Right? Just like when you crush the ice cube, you crush the snow, transform into a liquid. Similarly, when you are rubbing the bar, you are transforming the solid into a liquid. However, Ravaja brings down many poskim who say that's not a problem, because only when you have something, you have a liquid, you're creating a liquid in front of you. You've transformed an ice cube into ice, into water, and you have the water there. As opposed to dissolving something, right, by rubbing it, you're dissolving it, that doesn't fall under this prohibition, that's fine. Ah, you'll tell me there's another problem. There's a problem of memachek. You're not allowed, we won't go into this now, but you're not allowed to smoothen things out on Shabbat. So you have, wax. You can't smooth out wax on Shabbat. Okay, smoothing out is forbidden on Shabbat. And so seemingly, when you're rubbing your hands with the bar of soap, you are smoothing out this bar, and therefore that should be prohibited. I'm not going to go into all the reasons why. Okay, I'll say very quickly. It's a psik resha delo nichale with an isud rabbanan, because it's isud rabbanan in the sense that it only looks nice, and that's when you're smoothing something just to make it look nice, it's only forbidden by hachamim. It's a psik resha in the sense that you're doing it and it's happening inevitably, and it makes a difference to you. And a psik resha delo nichale with rabbanan is mutar. And therefore, strictly speaking, Rav Ovadia says very clearly, a person may even use for sfaradim may use a bar of soap on Shabbat. Nonetheless, there are potential issues, and therefore it's advisable if a person has liquid soap to use liquid soap. However, a person is stranded, he's only got a bar of soap, he may use a bar of soap on Shabbat. Okay.
Was it Ashkenazim or
Sephardim?
No, it's Sephardim.
Yeah, Ashkenazim have different issues, yes. To summarize this, please. So we've explained what dash is, and we've said three parts of dash. The first part of dash we explained was squeezing fruits and vegetables. We distinguished between olives and grapes, and we explained how a person's lips, whether they're allowed to squeeze, and we explained how you're allowed to squeeze directly onto a solid, and lemons are permissible, and how you're allowed to peel fruit on Shabbat. Then part two was about milking, animal milk, and expressing human milk. We explained the ways a person is permissible, and that under the circumstances when a person is allowed to milk an animal or express human milk. And thirdly, we've talked about the prohibition, the rabbinic prohibition of squeezing something on Shabbat, squeezing something like an ice cube or snow and transforming it into a liquid. That's forbidden, but only when you're doing the action. If it's happening by itself, it's permissible. So leave it to melt is fine. Two, transform a liquid into a solid, it's also fine. And a bar of soap, although strictly speaking it's permissible, and we should know that strictly speaking it's permissible, the person finds himself in such a situation, but nonetheless, preferable to use a liquid soap on Shabbat. Okay, that brings us to the end of dash. Any questions on dash? Is that all clear?
The Mehadrin dairies, they do it by electricity on Shabbat. They use the milk and sell the milk.
Mehadrin
dairies, milk dairies. Yeah.
Could you sell the milk? I don't know what they do, but there's no reason to say you can't use them. You're going to have if the goy's there, then you're allowed to go and watch it. If you've asked the goy to go and milk the cow, you can even go and watch it, and it'll be chal. If the goy milks the cow without you being there, you're not allowed to have that milk. If you can go and watch it, that's fine.
No, I mean, they're used by electricity.
Yeah, there's no reason why you can't use it. What they do, I don't know what they do, but there's no reason not to. Okay, now we'll move on to the second part of tonight's shiur, Boreh. Okay, so new topic now. Everyone still with me? Yeah? New topic. We finished dash now. We're now moving on to Boreh. And so, another one of the major melachot of Shabbat is Boreh. Boreh means to select. Okay? And the definition of Boreh is to select from a mixture. That's important. We remember that. To select an item from a mixture. And you'll see why that's such an important point soon. But the definition of Boreh is when you select something from a mixture, that's forbidden on Shabbat. So, a classical example, you have a bowl of different types of nuts. Okay? You have almonds, you have pistachios, peanuts, walnuts, all mixed in together. This is a mixture. Okay? And therefore, to select is forbidden. And the reason being, okay, from this you see, by the way, the importance of organization, how important it is to be organized in life and have everything in its categories. Because, just think about it, you know, you can walk for hours on Shabbat, nothing wrong with that, but selecting things and categorizing them, that's forbidden. Right? Organization is important. And so, when you're selecting something, and you don't fulfill the conditions which we're going to discuss, then that's considered a meracha, because what you're doing is it's an industrial process. You're selecting, you're organizing, you are making things in its order, and that's a problem on Shabbat. However, if you fulfill three simple conditions, which we'll talk about, then what that does is it's no longer considered an industrial action and significant to be a melacha, to be an activity forbidden on Shabbat. Rather, it's considered borer derech achila, you're selecting as a form of eating, it's insignificant and therefore permissible. The three conditions which I'm sure you've all heard before. Number one is you take the good from the bad, we have to explain what bad means. Secondly, is you use your hand as opposed to utensils, we have to explain what your hand means. And thirdly, you do it for immediate use, we have to explain what immediate use means. So, firstly, you have to take the good from the bad. Now, bad doesn't mean bad in the sense that it's rotten or it's something wrong with it. So you have a bowl of nuts, half of them are good nuts, half of them are bad nuts. Okay? Bad means what you're not interested in now. So again, coming back to the bowl of nuts. You have the almonds and the peanuts and the walnuts, and you only want the almonds for the moment. You don't like peanuts, you don't like walnuts. Then, that's considered that's a pesoret, that's something you don't want. And therefore, you can't pick out what you don't want and leave what's remaining, what you do want. Okay, that's condition number one. Condition number two is that you don't do it with an instrument. Okay, use your hands. Now, hands doesn't literally mean hands. Using a fork, using a spoon, that's considered an extension of your hand, and that's permissible. You mean a hand that's opposed to a machine, or something like a peeler even. Like, for example, peeling a potato with a knife would be fine, but a potato peeler, that's already more of an industrial action, something more of more significance, and more professional, okay? And therefore that's considered more for melacha, and therefore that you should refrain from doing that. Okay? And the third condition is that it's for immediate use. Immediate use means within half an hour or so, or for the upcoming meal. Okay, so you're allowed to do all preparations for the upcoming meal half an hour before it, even though you're preparing the dessert, which is only going to be in 3 hours' time. But since you're sitting down to the meal within half an hour, okay, therefore you consider this as one big activity, one big moment, and therefore you can select now, even though you won't actually be benefiting from your selection until 3 hours' time. But since it's all part of the act of eating, you're sitting down to eat, you're not expected to, between each course, have to go and select and sort your kitchen out, right? You can do that all from the beginning of the meal. Once you have these three conditions, and this is considered selection derech achila, it's the way of eating, therefore that's permissible. Okay, the three conditions to repeat. Number one, you take the good from the bad, okay? So, the example we gave of the nuts, you've got peanuts, almonds, and walnuts, and you want the peanuts. You take out the peanuts as opposed to taking out the almonds and the walnuts. Then, you do that with your hand, or with a spoon, or with a fork, as opposed to an instrument, a sieve, something like that. And thirdly, is that you do it for immediate use in the next half an hour. So, or if you're preparing your desserts, you want to pass some fruit, pass some vegetables, and that's also fine to do that as long as it's half an hour before the meal. What shouldn't be done though, is the woman wants to go to shul in the morning on Shabbat, and so she prepares the desserts at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes to shul, and she's not going to be sitting down to lunch till 12 o'clock. That's a problem. The person should refrain from doing that. But perhaps one of the most important principles in Borer is that Borer only applies when you are selecting from a mixture. There's no problem when you have a bowl of apples, all the same type of apples, all the same quality, and not you've got some rotten one, all the same type, you've got 10 apples all together in the bowl. There's no problem in dividing them into half. Borer doesn't mean division. Borer means selection. Okay, you're selecting, and the act of selection is only possible when you have a mixture in the first place. You see? So to divide something is fine. You have a bowl of equally good apples, somewhat, you know, not much of a difference between them. You can divide them. Oranges, you can divide them. The problem is when you have a mixture, so you have a whole bowl of plums, oranges, apples, which aren't clearly discernible, they're all mixed together, you've got 10, 15, 20 fruits all together. Then you have a mixture, and then borer is applicable. But if you have just a bowl of peanuts, there's no problem in dividing it into five different bowls. That's considered an act of division, not act of separation. Okay? Now, why is this so important? I'll tell you why this is so important. Because, let's take, for example, a piece of salmon, fish. Okay? Salmon. So, you have, of course, bones in a salmon. What are you going to do about the bones? So, seemingly you will tell me that you have to take, you have salmon with bones, what do you have to do? Take the salmon from the bones, right? Because you take the bones out of the salmon, you're taking out the bad from the good. You don't take a bad from the good. The three conditions are good from the bad. You use your hand, do it for immediate use. So even if I'm doing it for immediate use for dinner, Friday night, and I'm doing it with my hands and with my fork, but I'm taking out the bone, I'm taking the bad from the good. I don't want the bone. It's seeming that would be a problem. However, this is done by many poskim, but even the Ben Ish Chai writes this, okay? Radi and many all the Sfaradim, is that we consider a piece of fish as one entity. We don't view a piece of salmon as salmon and bones mixed together, okay? We view it as a piece of fish, and therefore it's one entity. And therefore, Borer doesn't start. Borer is only a problem when you have a mixture and you're selecting one thing over the other. So, when can you have Borer with salmon and bones? I'll tell you when you can have it. If everyone's eaten their fish already, and then you're going and putting all the fish and the bones into one plate, so there was a time when they were separate, the fish and the bones, they've been separate, people eating them, different pieces of fish, different bones, and then they've been put all together back again, then you have a mixture. Because then, once they've been divided, the salmon and the bones, they're separate. Therefore, they get their own entity, the bones, now. Okay? And then they've all been put together, all the people's plates have been put together, 10 plates all together into one big plate. You have a whole mixture of salmon and bones. That's now a new mixture. And then to take the bones would be a problem. Because now you've created the mixture. As opposed to the fish, how it comes, this is the body of the fish. This is what fish is. This is what salmon is. You can't call a piece of salmon a mixture of fish and bones. And therefore, there's no problem to take out the bones. Right? Even if you're doing it for an hour's time. Because there's no borer. Borer is not applicable here. Yeah? Borer, the three conditions are only applicable when you have a mixture in the first place. Here there's no mixture. Exactly the same applies to a piece of chicken. A piece of chicken, you can take out the bone. You have to take the chicken from the bone. You can take the bone away from the chicken. Why? Same idea. Because you consider this as a piece of chicken, not chicken with it mixed with a bone. If, however, you have, everyone's eaten, and you have pieces of chicken, and people have separated them, they put them all together in a plate after everyone's eaten, and you mix them all together again, then borer will be applicable, because now you've created the mixture. The same applies to watermelon. Okay? You may, this is again clear in the Ben Ish Chai as well, okay, even Ben Ish Chai is leaning to this, you may take out watermelon seeds, okay, and eat the watermelon. Because again, same idea, you don't consider the watermelon as watermelon with seeds. This is watermelon, it's one entity, it's one thing. And therefore, you may select the seeds from the watermelon.
What about pomegranates? Does that come under this or dash? Like when you have a whole pomegranate?
What would be the problem of dash? Peeling it.
When you take the seeds, when you cut it and you take the seeds out of the...
So there wouldn't be a problem of borer, because we said it's one body,
yeah,
one entity, and dash also. You're not if you squeeze the pomegranate, there'll be a problem. But just to open it up and take it out, what's wrong with that? You're not. Remember, it's like an orange. It's on the outer case.
Yeah,
it's fine, right?
There's like white bits that you have to serve. It's fine.
So correct. It's all one body.
Right.
If, however, this will be a problem if you've separated, taking it out, and you now have got it within your bowl. Now you have pomegranate seeds and then bits of white, and that's now been mixed in.
Mm.
Yeah, when it's the one body, that's how it's come. This is a pomegranate, it's one thing, there's no mixture. Once you've taken it out, you now have all mixed in together. Then to take out the white bits will be a problem.
Yes,
yeah, that's a mixture now.
Is borer only by food?
No, we'll talk about that. No, it's not right. Okay, so that's important to remember. Only only separate second of a mixture is a problem.
A can of tuna?
It's
like put oil in or...
Yeah.
That's a
mixture.
That's a mixture.
Because that's been put together.
So you have to use those three.
You have to use the conditions. Yeah. You don't
drain out the, take out the tuna, you shouldn't drain out the juice from the can of tuna, yeah, that's an important point. You shouldn't drain out the juice out unless you want the juice, of course. What you should do is take out the tuna, yeah?
Going back to the example of the nut bowl, can you take out the nuts that you like and leave the nuts that you don't like behind?
Provided you're doing it for easy to use.
Right.
Three conditions.
Can be done.
Why not?
So the others are considered bad.
Because you don't want them, they're considered bad. Okay? Now, continuing this idea of the importance of a mixture, even though what we've said, it's an important point, that the chicken and the fish, but you can have mixtures of things you may not think are a mixture. So if you have a plate, let's say, with an arrangement of different types of, let's say, fish balls, but different types of fish. Okay, so you've got an arrangement with fish balls of cod, fish balls of salmon, yeah, different types of fish balls. That's considered a mixture. Even though it's all fish, the different types, that would constitute a mixture, and therefore you'd have to follow the halakhot of borer. It's always important to remember, whenever you have a question of borer, you're thinking of borer, is there a mixture here? That's point number one to start off with. But when you have big items, you don't consider that a mixture. So you've got, you know, on a table, you've got apples and oranges lying in front of you, you're not going to rationally, you're not going to term that as a mixture. A mixture means close together, small pieces, a fruit bowl with 15, 20 different fruits all mixed together, you can't see what's what and where each type of fruit is. That's a mixture, and then borer kicks in. Yeah? But when there's no mixture in the first place, then borer cannot kick in, there's no problem at all. It's always important to remember the difference between separating in contrast to dividing. Now, borer, we've explained, is selection. Is borer sorting out? Let me explain the question. Let's say you have silverware all mixed up together. Forks, knives, and spoons. Okay? All mixed together. And what we've been talking about till now is where you want to select good from the bad. Something you want, something you don't want. So the peanuts from the rest of the nuts which you don't want. The chicken from the bone. What about when I'm sorting out silverware? Because when you're sorting out silverware, think about it. Is what's good and what's bad? You want all the silverware, don't you? Just don't want it now, you want it tomorrow morning. So Friday night, you finish the meal, everyone's put together, their forks, their knife, and their spoons, all been gathered in, it's in the kitchen now, you have mixed together 20 knives, 20 forks, and 20 spoons. Okay? That's a mixture, right? So, can I select it? In the sense, can I organize, sort it out? Can I put the forks here, and the spoons here, and the knives here? On the one hand, you'll tell me, I'm selecting. I've got a mixture here, and I'm selecting. On the other hand, I'm not selecting good from bad, or taking away bad from good. I'm just sorting and organizing. Right? There's no good and no bad here, to say that I'm taking good from the bad, or bad from the good. Right? This is a big debate. Some view it as borer, because at the end of the day, you are organizing, and they see borer not just as an act of selecting, but more that organization as well. Others say no. It has to be an act of selection. Here, I'm not selecting a knife over a fork or a fork over a knife. The final halakha with this is that, and if there are other reasons to be lenient, then a person may be lenient. Let me explain what I mean. Halakha is that a person may do the washing up on Friday night for Shabbat morning and organize the silverware. Why? Because there's a number of reasons. Because there's another opinion, I'm not going into too much details, another opinion which holds that even when you have good from bad, when the bad isn't bad in the sense it's rotten, just it's something you don't want, that's only forbidden to do for a seuda beyond the current seuda. As long as you're doing it for the upcoming seuda, it's fine. That's the opinion of Magen Abraham. Although we don't follow this, but it's enough to add on to this debate already, whether you view selection or sorting out. Okay? And furthermore, some argue that silverware is in a mixture in the first place, because there's such big, you know, big pieces of silverware. Some argue that it's not considered a mixture first. It's clearly discernible what's a fork, what's a knife, what's a spoon. Although we do consider it a mixture, but all these points together, Rabbi Zvi Teshuvah, who says that to do the washing up on Friday night and you want to organize the silverware and set out the table Shabbat morning, that's fine as long as you're doing it for the upcoming seuda. To do it well for seuda shlishit, okay, eating out lunch, you want to set the table for seuda shlishit, or if you're having later on another seuda, long summer's afternoon, that isn't allowed. But when you have items which you are not selecting one over the other, rather you are organizing, and there are other reasons to be lenient as well than a person may be lenient. And the typical example that we just said, you are allowed to sort out the silverware on Friday night for Shabbat, providing you're doing it for Shabbat morning. Okay? If, however, you have a mixture of forks, knives, and you had guests on Friday night, and on Shabbat morning you're not having, and on Friday night you have special silverware, half of the silverware is special silverware, and that silverware you're not going to be using on Shabbat morning, so that you don't want, you see, then you couldn't. Because that's something you don't want, that's good from the bad. And that's good for the upcoming night, you can't. But as long as you want it all, meaning there's no advantage of one over the other, then what we've said applies, and that would be permissible.
Is Tircha coming into it as well?
Sorry?
Tircha comes into it as well.
Tircha is not on Shabbat, Tircha is on Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. The concept of Tircha is only on Yom Tov with Borah, not on Shabbat. There's no concept of Tircha with Borah on Shabbat. Now, do we consider, this is another big debate, do we consider when you have a solid sitting on a liquid? So you have a bowl of soup, and you have a carrot. Okay, do we consider the carrot mixed into the soup, or we consider it as there's no mixture? Again, it all comes back to the same fundamental idea. Is there a mixture in the first place? So many, and this is the final halakha, that many argue that you cannot consider a solid and a mixture mixed together because they're so different. Yeah? A carrot sitting in a chicken soup, right? You've got liquid, you've got solid, two different entities. You can't consider them mixed together, for Borei doesn't apply. And therefore, if you don't want the carrots, you may take the carrots out, even though you don't want it. Something, it's the bad, you don't want it. Okay? Because this is the concept of en brera belach. There's no Borei representation when it comes to liquids mixed with solids. Two liquids together, you couldn't. Okay? But a liquid mixed with a solid, where it's clearly discernible, the solid is sitting on top of the liquid, then you are allowed to extract that and take it out on Shabbat. Three more points and we'll end. Only an act of selection is forbidden when you're actively doing an act of selection. What do I mean by this? So the mission, this is a mission that gives the example of you are carrying a trough to feed animals, carrying a trough on Shabbat, which is also a sin. But you're carrying it to transport the food to the animal. Even though as you transport it, inevitably, the trough will be selecting the food you want to give to the animal from the chef. Okay? Nonetheless, since you're not actively doing an act of selection, it's happening of its own accord, it's permissible. Even though we have a concept of psikresha, and something inevitable is forbidden, yeah, but Boreas doesn't apply. In Boreas, you have to do the act of selection. You have to intend to do the act of selection. What's the practical ramification of this? Salt shaker. Okay? Salt shaker, where you have, let's say you have a salt shaker with rice inside, let's say. Sometimes you put rice in to prevent it from stagnating. So what you do is, when you pour in the salt out, if you think about it, there's a sieve in the salt which is preventing the rice from coming out. So perhaps you could argue that you can't use these salt shakers on Shabbat. Why? Because you're using an implement, using a utensil to do the separation, because you are separating the salt from the rice. And that makes sense. But you're not doing an act. You're doing an act, you want to salt your food. Inevitably, yes, there is going to be an act of selection in that the salt shaker will stop, the sieve in the salt shaker will stop the rice from coming out. But that's permissible. Therefore, you may use salt shakers, even though if there's rice inside, things like that, because you're not actively doing an act of selection, that is forbidden. Borei also applies to not just the food items as well, like I've been talking about silverware, the mixture of toys, for example, can be a problem, and playing cards on Shabbat, you should be aware of this, because you have a mixture of cards. If they're clearly discernible, then fine, but sometimes you can have 10 cards, all very similar, all the same number, all the same color, just different shapes on the card, yeah, heart or diamond, very similar. That would probably constitute a mixture. And therefore, to select the card which you don't want out would be a problem. Therefore, playing these games on Shabbat, the person has to work out before how he's going to play it and if there are any potential issues with them. To summarize Borei, and we'll end, we've defined what Borei is. Borei is a selection of an item from a mixture of other items. We explained that as long as you're doing Borei derech achila, you're doing it through a form of eating, and not an industrial action is permissible, and these are the three conditions of good from the bad, and bad means something you don't want. Secondly, that you're doing it with your hand, not with a kli. And thirdly, doing it for immediate use, it's permissible. We explained that bread only applies when you have a mixture, and therefore this is why you may take out the bones from chicken, bones from fish, seeds from watermelon, etc. And we explained there's a debate with regards to how you view sorting out. Is organizing without selecting, is that bread or not? We said it's not clear the answer to that, but at the very least, a person may arrange silverware on Friday night, set the table for Shabbat morning, as long as the items of the silverware are equally important to him. We also said that solid or liquid isn't considered a mixture. Salt shakers may be used. Borer also applies not just to food, but also to anything really which is mixed together. And that brings us to the end of Borer. Of course, there's much more, but these are the main concepts which we wanted to cover. And so what we've done tonight, is we have covered both Dash and Borer, two major melachot. any questions before we end? Any questions on Dash and Borer? A couple of minutes of questions.
You take the skin of a chicken. You say it's part of the
same idea. Skin of a chicken is permissible because it's considered one body. If, however, you take the skin off, okay, and you go now in a few pieces of chicken with a few skins and all mixed together, that would be a problem now. Now you mix them back. And now it's become a mixture. Okay.
So, what about when you come to shul and you need a tally of about 1,000 and you're looking for a good one?
Correct. So that's a good point. Are you taking the one you want from the ones you don't want?
Yeah,
now,
you have to sift
it. Good. So good point. That's a good question. So you're asking, let me explain that. So you have a 50 tally tot, you're looking through them, sifting through them. Seemingly, you know, as you're going through looking for the one you want, you're taking all the bad ones. That's fine, because you're not doing active selection. You're randomly picking things up to see if this is the one you want or not. You don't like you putting it aside. By the time you're picking it up, you're randomly doing it. You want to get to what's underneath it. It's not an act of selection and division and taking away. You understand the difference? It's a random act, not active selection. This is why coats. You have coats hung up on the hook, four or five coats, and you want to take off the coats on top to get to your coat to the bottom. Again, that's not active selection. You're just taking off to get to the bottom. And that would be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. Books.
So, good point. Sorting out books. If they are books which are all black, and these books, you can't consider this a mixture, because you can clearly see, I can tell you here, you know, where the books are, the names, I can see the names, so you can't consider that a mixture in the first place. But if you have books all the same color, okay, with nothing on the, nothing written on the spine of the book, then true, if you have books, that would be a problem. Yeah. Okay, good, so we have one shiur next week, which will be on... Next week is the final part of the Shabbat kitchen, part 4. So grinding, kneading, and pickling. Okay, grinding, kneading, and pickling. So we're going to talk about how to make eggs, liver, cheese, avocado on Shabbat. How to make tahina on Shabbat, if you can. Pickling food on Shabbat. That will be covered in the Shabbat next week. And then we'll have a break for Chanukah. And a week after, we'll have a break for 3 weeks or so, until the 18th of December. So next week we'll have a shiur. Final part of the Shabbat kitchen, then we'll take a break in a couple of weeks. Have a good evening, everyone.